Are you a woman on your healing journey after trauma, feeling overwhelmed by all the different modalities and unsure really what the next steps are to take to a healthier, happier you? If so, you're not alone.
It's springtime, the perfect moment for fresh starts and new discoveries. My name is Amanda Hope, host of Magic and Metamorphosis podcast. I am part of the Podcast Connection Network, just like the show you're about to listen to. Check us all out. The link is in the episode's description. See you soon.
So in this episode of Connection Over Perfection, we've got you covered. Join us as we chat about practical insights and guidance provided by our guest, Lynn Rivers. Lynn is more than just a wellness expert. She's a lighthouse of knowledge and compassion in the area of holistic health. With over 15 years of experience in the field, Lynn has dedicated her life to helping individuals overcome challenges. Her extensive background includes training in holistic medicine, spiritual counseling, Eastern and Western massage therapy, and so much more. She is also a renowned film director, producer, and writer, contributes to community building and charities, all adding a really unique perspective to her holistic approach to wellness. Lynn's journey and personal experiences set her apart, allowing her to meet people in their pain and help guide them through it. So throughout our conversation, Lynn will share valuable strategies on how to take those crucial steps.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm
healing,
excited to be here.
Addressing the overwhelm and uncertainty we all face in this journey of life. Also, we'll explore approaches for coaches, therapists, and counselors to provide a safe and effective support. Lynn, thank you for being here. We are honored to have you. So it's a lot. We're on this journey. We've just learned about trauma. We're like, thing, we have to do something different. We've tried some counseling. We tried some therapy.
I think this is a great point to start because I believe you and I, when
now?
We had our
and
first
all
initial
this other
conversation
stuff is scary.
Together,
like, you know, we hear
I
about nutrition,
about the fact
we
that
about
a lot of people
neuroplasticity
who are overcoming
and the
trauma,
science of it. It can be
it's
really
no longer
overwhelming
the traumatic experience
scary.
That's
Let's talk
affecting
about
them.
It.
It's their physiological responses that are kicking in and causing emotional outbursts, aggressive energies, tendencies, you know, depression, the whole nine yards. And those are the things that are expressing, right? It's not the trauma or the event that caused the trauma that's affecting us. It's our body and the chemical processes that are happening, our gut microbiome and everything that we're going to go into. But I think one of the best things to start out with is knowing that just because you had a traumatic experience and you're still having symptoms years and years later does not mean you haven't worked through it. Chances are you've unpacked it, you've moved through it, but that doesn't mean that your body is healthy. And our body can cause so many different symptoms. And that's why we do look at nutrition. We do look at all of these different things. And it can be daunting when you're first understanding this, you're first learning about this, because there's so many directions that you've been pulled. You've been told to do past regression therapy. You've been told to do medications. You've been told to do all these things. So here comes another thing that we're throwing at you. And we're saying, hey, if you look at this from a different perspective, you can actually heal and live a fulfilling life. And I want to make this as simple as possible. So I'd really like to dive into this with like the baselines and my journey and how I understood this, right? Because I think it all is just like a piece by piece, a step by step to understand that there's a different way to look at this.
Yeah, that's huge. Thank you so much. And I know that really resonates with me because when I first started, it was like a foreign concept as well. But now I nerd out and this is what I do as well. This is what I teach for my clients. So I'm fascinated
so
with the science
I've
behind
lived a
it.
Very
and
different
I
life.
Love that
and
your personal experience
my journey
and your
started off
perspective
very
and
tumultuous
helping us break it down.
From
So
very early age.
Tell
I
us
had
a little
pneumonia
bit
when I was
about
one and
your
three.
personal experience
I
and
was
how
tied
that
down in
might
incubators.
help somebody where
And
they are
a
now
big
in
point
their
that I really
journey.
Like to bring up with this story is when you're a baby, you don't understand words, you understand feelings, right? And in those moments that I was really sick, anytime my parents would say, I love you, it was coming out in fear. They're afraid that I was going to die. And so that's the sensation that I took on to the word love very early on in life. And so the second that I could start speaking and understand words, I was terrified of the word love. I mean, I remember at the age of 4, anytime my parents would say, I love you, I would cringe and get super anxious because I equated it to what they would tell me in the hospital. And so I never said the word love until I was 8 years old. And it was when my grandma, who was my favorite person in the world, she was in the hospital. And I wrote her a little note. And I watched my grandma. She was sick. She was battling breast cancer for my entire life. And so I was always with her, always watching her fall, not being able to help her, living in a state of anxiety from a very early age. And so when I wrote her a note and I was in the hospital with her, I said, I love you for the first time. And she died immediately after I said that. And so as an 8-year-old, we have a narcissistic brain that thinks everything is because of us or is happening to us. And so I thought I killed my grandma by saying, I love you. So in that moment, I can still remember how it felt. I shoved it down and I said, I will never say that word again. And so fast forward, my mom died when I was 15 and I was in the process of coming out. I was going through a bunch of identity issues and my mom died and I still never said I loved you to her because she had not died at that point. So I thought, well, I don't want to kill her any quicker. So I'm not going to say I love you. Right. And so that progressed up until my late 20s until I finally understood like how beautiful is it that I said, I love you. And my grandma was finally able to let go because it was such a gift to her. Right. And so I had those events. I lost the majority of my family before I was 15 years old. I was in and out of the hospital with breathing issues, asthma, always on medication, steroids. I was suicidally depressed through my teens and 20s. I had hormonal imbalances, endometriosis. I mean, it's just left and right. And then and one of my near-death experiences, my partner actually died from the same colon cancer that my mom died of when my mom was 40. My partner was 32. And then it progressed at another near-death experience. I was always just sick, always drawing in negative energies, and I didn't have great friendships. It was just a really tumultuous first 30-plus years of my life, right? There was never a break of let's just live, let's just be. I was always constantly having to figure something drastic out in my life. And so it really took a toll on my body.
Wow, I think that this is really huge. And I know this is kind of off topic, but I know that so many listeners struggle with the word love. I mean, that's huge because we throw this word around, learn to love yourself, love one another.
Yeah.
And for so many people who have been through traumatic experiences, most people, their childhood, love was painful. Love was scary. Love was physical pain. That's so huge. And so I just want to take a moment because we see you guys. We understand that the word love is super tough and can be super disconnecting. So disconnecting. And it's extremely common. And I think that that's such a big thing to stop and kind of recognize too, especially on this journey, because we're talking about basically learning to connect and to love yourself, right? Like nutrition and all that, taking care of yourself.
Yeah. You know, this is actually yourself. The point that I'm but about to make is going to unravel people's negative minds of around the word love. And I say that because the second that you hear something, you can't
do that to yourself.
And for some people, this is just going to hit.
That's huge.
But the reality is when we say, I love you to the majority of people in our life, it's not love. It's infatuation. It's desire to love. We get into a lot of relationships where we're like, oh, I love this person. They're so amazing. But for those of us who have experienced a lot of trauma, we know when we truly love someone because it is terrifying the second that we realize we love someone. And that's when the fear comes up. And I can't tell you how many women I've dated where I could easily say, oh, I love you. because I knew at the core of it that it wasn't true. Because the only person I've ever actually genuinely loved, the second she said, I love you, and it was in such a beautiful moment, my heart sank and I could not say it back. It was no longer this word to throw around. It was like, oh God, I do too. And now I'm going to sabotage this. Right. Because it was just, and that was so long ago. That was in my early 20s. And I just remember that feeling still of like, that's been the only time that I've ever actually fallen in love. And it was something that it terrified me. And so now I'm working through that with my dog. My dog is the greatest relationship I've ever had. So unconditional, so supportive. And she's more than a dog to me. We're very connected. And I love her so deeply that it makes me want to cry. And that is because I know it's a genuine love and I know it's going to hurt when I lose her.
Right.
If there's no attachment to that word, there's no feeling of like, oh, okay, if I lose this, like all the women I dated, I was thankful that we broke up. Like it was like, okay, that was just a passing thing, but this is different. And she has taught me how to wholly love her, right? To just full on, just give her all the love, knowing that one day, yes, it will be gone. But that's the kind of love that we're trying to find, right? That's what we're trying to seek in ourselves. And that is love. And that's how you know the difference. When you've experienced trauma, you know that difference of love by the emotions that it brings up in you. Because no matter how much we work through something, no matter how much I've unpacked my trauma and understand it and see the beauty in all of it, the reality is my body still physically responds with the, oh yeah, this is what it felt like to love someone and then to watch them all die. I think it just comes down to that physical response in your body, because you're going to have that.
So if somebody is going through trauma and feels that pain and it's scary,
almost like a fight or flight, right? And that's why we sabotage. And this is why I tell people to take it one step at a time.
True love.
Yes, falling in love is beautiful. Like genuinely falling in love with someone where it's a beautiful mutual connection is beautiful. But a lot of times we don't allow ourselves those connections because we don't want that loss, that pain that comes with losing it. Right. And so when you feel that sensation and you know, like, oh man, like this is risky. Like, because if I continue with this, I know that it can be really painful versus, oh, this is fine. Like if it goes away, it doesn't matter. And we know that feeling. It's like a drop in your body of just like, oh. And when we feel that, it's about like, okay, I acknowledge it. I see that that's there. And now let me take a step forward, right? Let me take a step. Let me just sit in this space of knowing that, okay, I love this person and I want to work through this, right? And that is love, you know, and that's how we know, is like when we feel it, but we want to actually move around it and navigate it. And I think that's go ahead.
So would you say,
yes.
So would you say too, that what we're going to kind of dive into,
and
is
the reason for that is because
the physical aspect of it, the nutrition,
the largest
and really
nerve in our body.
Having
for anyone who doesn't
the ability
know about the biggest
to
nerve,
be in tune with
it
your
literally
body
supplies almost all of our organs,
be able to tell
brain,
the difference between if it's fight
or
flight.
And it's actually
or not.
Called the wandering nerve because it literally wanders through your body, and it's so beautiful. And when that is activated, you go into fight or flight. And a lot of times, if you're nutrient deficient or you're eating foods that you're sensitive to, any of these things, it can set off your vagus nerve and put you in that fight or flight on a more consistent basis, even when you shouldn't be. You know, it's even taking away our situations. Yes, when we were chased by, what is it, saber-toothed tigers back in, right? That's when it needed to be activated because it supplies us to get up and run. But now with everything surrounding us, our diets, everything, it's so it's consistently on that we don't know what we're actually feeling. And is this person causing me anxiety?
Right.
Is this situation causing me anxiety? And so when we can come into balance and actually nourish our body, We're in a state of calm on a regular basis. So then when something is actually off and is not right for us, we know, because we're able to sense it. We'll be able to see, like, I don't feel good when I'm around this person. I don't feel good when I eat this food. I don't, you know, we know at that point, like, okay, this isn't just my normal go-to, which a lot of people are in. They're actually able to utilize the tool that our body is.
Yeah, that's huge. And so would you say too that that's one of the things, the reassuring things when somebody is on the beginning of this journey, like validating, we understand that it's hard to tell the difference right now. It's hard to know what is your truth. And we talk about nutrition and we talk about cleaning up your microbiome and all of these things because it takes you to that next step faster. It gives you the ability to be able to be in tune. We call it, you know, intuition. Some people call it Holy Spirit. Some people call it guides. You know, your third eye, all of these things, is being able to differentiate when it's fear, when it's love, when it's you're being guided, or when your sympathetic nervous system is activated, right? So there are things like you're saying, the nutrition, the food, being able to get your body in a state.
I'll jump back then to tell people how I started navigating mine,
because
it was so simple.
And
like I said, I was on medications and steroids and all these things as a teen. And I kept going back to the doctor for this infection, and they just kept giving me antibiotics all the time. I don't know if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, you were handed antibiotics like they were candy without knowing how they were affecting our body. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, one of the easiest things that you can learn and educate yourself on is how detrimental it is to the body to overload with antibiotics. There are a few times if you're in a medical emergency, you're in the hospital. Okay, yes. But there are so many other ways of clearing up these things. And for myself, that's where it started, because they kept giving me antibiotics for this infection. And intuitively came through at the age of 17. And I kept thinking, this isn't going away. This is the third time that they've just handed me antibiotics and it keeps coming back. And the internet was just taking off. It was like, I still had dial up. It took like 20 minutes for the thing to come up. Google wasn't big, but I had this thing where it said, search for natural solutions to this infection. And I did. And it popped up this super simple thing. And I was like, well, what do I have to lose? It hasn't gone away. It hasn't gotten any better. So let me try it. It went away within 3 days and never came back. That was the biggest aha moment for me, that there had to be a better way of living. Just one simple step took me the whole nine yards. I was like, well, then how can I get rid of my asthma? Google. Okay, great. Implement, trial and error. Didn't have asthma anymore after lifelong 18 years of asthma. Right. And so it was just these simple things where if you can open your mind to understanding that the Western medical system is not geared towards making you better, instead, they are masking symptoms, not only keeping you sick, but progressing and making other things worse. That is where you're going to start taking off and searching for different solutions and searching for different practitioners. Now, if Western medicine does have a place for acute conditions, I want to make that clear. Their world should only be revolved around acute conditions. They are not set up for chronic illness at all. And if people can wrap their heads around that, that is where the world is going to start changing, because they're no longer going to see their symptoms and think, oh, I need to go get a pill for this. That's where you're going to start wrapping your head around the fact that there is a way that your body needs to heal, because symptoms are just a bigger picture that there's an imbalance in your body. So if you're diagnosed with something, it doesn't matter which millions of diagnoses you get. The reality is that's just a symptom of an imbalance in your body. And if you can learn that, you'll start being able to implement a lot of different techniques so much easier.
That's so huge. There's so much. I was over here scribbling notes to talk about. But yes, definitely I am in agreement that Western medicine is for short term. You break an arm. Yeah, go to the doctor.
It is old medicine.
Long-term preventative Eastern. And it's been like that. I'm not really sure why this is like a new concept. It's not new. It's been around for millions of years, right? But it's just this facade that it's new. It really is exactly 100%. And you said something along the lines of challenging it. You know, when you go to the doctors, like you were talking about antibiotics, ask them, hey, what is this doing to my gut, to my microbiome? Should I be taking a probiotic with this? Because how is this affecting my gut bacteria, right? And that's one of the big things.
Mm-hmm.
Start getting curious, like you said, what is this doing to my body? It's fine. If you want to go to Western medicine, just get curious. What is this supplement? Google will tell you all of these things. Rx.com will tell you about any medication that you are prescribed. It will give you the black box. It will tell you why, what, when, where, how about it. And taking back that power. And I think that this plays a really big part in kind of our conversation. And what we're talking about is knowing that you do have the power over your healing, and that it's not this far out of your hands, far out of your reach. Because I think that in the Western society and thinking is that you have to have permission. Mm-hmm. You have to be granted from the doctor.
You're going to the doctors and asking them about these things. The problem is you're going to Western doctors and the majority of them are not going to tell you what's actually happening to your gut microbiome.
They're not going to tell you the detriments that it has on your body.
One, because they don't even know it. I like to remind people that doctors are not smart. They're trained. They are trained to do specific things and to prescribe specific medications. They're not actually trained for functional medicine. They're not trained to know how the body is connected, right? Exactly. Yeah. And so I highly recommend, if you want to stick in a Western medical system, because that's where your comfort is right now, that's just where you're at, and that's okay.
But start looking
for an integrative practitioner then.
One of the things I like to teach people is
Google is actually a beautiful resource if you know how to use it. A lot of times people are researching things and they're finding all the negative things, like, oh, if you take this, it causes XYZ. The reality is, if you learn how to navigate Google, like if you put in like Epstein-Barr virus, for example, is huge and is what is causing a lot of people problems. Mm-hmm. But if you type in certain things like helps Epstein-Barr virus or XYZ helps something, right? If you put in the word helps or other words that are more positive, you're going to find the research that's done that is actually beneficial to know, because Google is loaded with, by the Western medical system, with all of the things that they want people to see. And so you're going to find all of the negatives about natural medicine before you start seeing any of the good stuff. And so if you know how to use positive words in the Google search, you're going to pull up all the scientific research behind our bacteria and which bacteria does what, and how our gut microbiome is in charge of almost 85% of disease at this point is what we're finding, right? And you'll just learn how to navigate it better. But it's actually a really useful tool once you learn how to change your words of what you're searching for.
Yeah, that's a huge point that you mm-hmm. pointed out. And, you know, see, this comes back to my question, because I forget learning that. I mean, I took a whole course on how to navigate information that I trust. And so I forget. And that's kind of my point in this, is sometimes we forget where people are starting. And so this is a beautiful example of me forgetting. And so yes. I love that you pointed that out. And also with the challenging the doctors, right? You have to get other information. And that's kind of
exactly
what I meant, is that you can ask them, like you said, Lynn, they're going to tell you their information. If you pose another thought process, see what happens. they're going to push against. Exactly. And for me, that was a huge indicator. If you're not mm-hmm. open to hearing, there's other this exactly. information. Can we try something different? And it's very, no, that's wrong. You know, that is, don't listen to that. This is what you need to listen to. For me, that's mm-hmm. a huge indicator that something is wrong and to keep looking. So I think it's so important to have other information. And this is hard in a world, in an age where you don't know what the hell to trust. And this circles back to getting your body right so that you can filter it through and what resonates with you. Because in the end of the day, that's what we have to do. So back to you were in tune with yourself. You don't know where it came from. And you said, I need to challenge this. And so when we're in that spot, what do you do? Where
it's
do you
actually
go
as
from
simple
here?
As what I did. It's Google. Google
Ready
what you're
to reclaim
dealing
your connection
with
after trauma.
And look for natural solutions.
I'm Amber
like
McCray,
Epstein-Barr Natural Solutions or fibromyalgia natural
Find
solutions.
Find my link in the episode description and book
just
your free consultation
Just understanding
now.
And learning new information. Read about these things. You educate yourself, right? Google is such a good spot to educate yourself, again, when you know where to look. And for me, that's where it just started. I never went back to a doctor after that until I had a ruptured appendix and had to be in the hospital. But I never went back to a doctor again because I, at that point, knew that my body was capable of healing. And what they were doing for me was only making me worse, and I wasn't getting better. And unfortunately, the antibiotics and medications that I was on, they ended up causing a lot more problems, such as mast cell activation syndrome, which I am still navigating to this day, right? So I have gotten myself to about 85% better, which is more than a lot of people could ask for. But that's because I know what I'm doing. I know how to get there. It just takes a while. Once, you know, it's been like 4 or 5 years since I was in the hospital, along with a broken bone and my dad dying and all these things at the same time. So my body shut down. Stress will shut your body down so quick. And I think that's where it was just like, I need to learn how to take care of myself mentally and to understand my emotions and what's causing it and to be alone, because being alone meant that I can actually focus on myself and stop taking on external factors more and really just diving into what do I need in order to be the best version of myself. And I think this is a big point, but one of my near-death experiences, one of the things that I was shown is suicide is not black and white. It's not pulling the trigger. It's not using the knife or taking the pills. It's not taking care of your body. Your body is a gift and a vehicle in this life. And when we're not taking care of it, that is seen as an abandonment. That's seen as neglect, right? And so for me, I had always been interested in taking care of myself, but that pushed me over the top of, oh, what do I actually need to be doing for my body versus what do I think it needs? Because that doesn't mean working out for 3 hours a day. It means working out for 20 minutes a day. What, you know, just all these different factors of what my body needed specifically and the diet that it needs. And how do you get rid of viruses and how do you get rid of headaches and what's causing all of this in the first place? This should be elementary. We should not have to dig for this information. We should be given this information from the get-go. We should learn this the second we know how to talk. This is your body. These are the nutrients you need. This is what makes it work well. Your gut microbiome affects your mental health at over 90%. Everything, right? And this is information that no one is still getting. We have to dig for this. We have to have these conversations in order for this information to reach the mass population. And it's alarming to me. And even if I don't continue teaching this in a one-on-one capacity, I will always utilize my platform to tell people that there's another way. Because unfortunately, we have a lot of people in the mainstream media too, like Lady Gaga and Angelina Jolie and all these people who have, you know, Angelina getting her breasts removed because of a gene, instead of teaching people, if you change your external circumstances, your genes can actually change. We were not destined to our genetic materials. It's what we do with our bodies. It's how we live our mm-hmm. lives. And Lady Gaga with her depression and just kind of making it mass spread of I'm depressed and this is how I live my life. Instead of using that platform and teaching her like, hey, let's heal this so then we can reach millions of people and teach them how to overcome mental illness. Because as someone who was suicidally depressed all of my teens and 20s, that is like my biggest message for people is your mental health is a simple signal that there's an imbalance in your body and your neurons aren't connecting correctly because of some cellular dysfunction or your nerves are entrapped or something simple, right? And let's learn how to heal that so then you can actually be clear on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's so huge. And so kind of all of that is why guess when we can know? That was one of the biggest things I learned from getting my certification is why guess when we can know? Dr. Honnelly talks about this all the time. There are tests, and I know we're knocking Western medicine, but unfortunately, they don't talk about these things. Our bodies are so uniquely individual that what works for Lynn and what works for me is not going to work for you. And so when we have this blanket treatment, some people get help, some people don't. It works for some and it doesn't work for others because everybody is individual. This is, we have tests, your allergies, what is happening within your body? And we can't know that just by, I mean, there's some things that you can look at and be like, okay, I can guess what's happening to you. But again, why guess when we can know? There are tests. And I think that that's kind of the road that you and I are both on is, hey, there's these resources that you don't have to guess. You don't have to sit in the dark for years trying to understand what is happening. There is another way. There's these tests that you can take. Know what's happening, what bacteria is there and what's not. You know, so often you talk about like this depression and chronic fatigue. And a lot of times chronic fatigue can be from delayed food allergies. As simple as you eating kale and your body doesn't like kale. I don't know why we're not talking about this stuff, right? It's these simple, they are simple steps. They can sound scary. And I think too, unfortunately, they're not offered at a very cheap price. And so it is an investment, which is, you know, if I could do something in the world, it all would be free. Like you said, this information should be given and you should know about this when you're born. I got to take a deep breath because I get all worked up.
I get it.
It doesn't have to be scary and it doesn't have to be this really big thing. There are still simple steps that you can take, but Lynn, you're super passionate about saying that there's another way. You don't have to sit and suffer for years trying all these different things to figure out what is going on. Mm-hmm. There are steps to take that tell you that, that help you along the way.
Yes. And on that note, I want to bring up two things. Remind me to mention kale. But first, I want to talk about testing because a lot of people are going to think, oh, okay, well, I'll just go to my doctor for testing. I want to make it clear that testing with your Western doctors is not going to be the same as testing with a naturopath or a functional practitioner. And the reason is even something as beautiful as a micronutrient panel, which is something we should know. We should know where our micronutrients are because our body is comprised of the same elements of earth, right? And when we do not have the elements that we need in our body, they are responsible for so many processes. Magnesium, for example, a lot of people know about magnesium, but a lot of people in the, you know, the mass communities, they think, oh, well, magnesium will help calm me down or they help my muscles relax. But they don't understand that magnesium plays over 300 chemical processes in the body, including a lot that has to do with our brain, right? And so those micronutrient panels, you can't get at your Western doctor. They will order like, okay, I'll order micronutrient and the vitamin B or whatever, but they have to order them separately. When you go to a functional medicine practitioner, you can get a micronutrient panel that has all of the micronutrients that you need to see intracellularly and plasma, right? Plasma and red blood count. And so those are the kinds of tests that you need. And the gut microbiome tests, you're not going to get that at your doctor's. And so I think that's one thing that I want to clear up. I think that's a lot of people think blood tests, but blood tests tell us very little about what's happening in the rest of our system. And for those of you who don't know a lot about the gut microbiome, I want to make it very simple for you. And that is we are mostly microbiome. Okay, we're 10% human cells. The rest of us is literally human microbiome. And our gut has trillions of gut microbiome, and they're the first line of defense for everything. So our mouth all the way to our anus is literally one, it should be one hollow tube all the way through. And that's where our food is processed. And then it's, you know, pushed into our system in a gentle way. And that is what actually feeds, like it feeds us the nutrients. It assimilates everything, and then we get the nutrients from it. So when you do not have proper gut microbiome, which means bacteria, viruses, fungi, all of these things are beneficial when they're in the proper amounts. It's when they get dysbiotic that we start having problems. So that's the best way that you could understand what the gut microbiome is and how it affects us. Because when we have leaky gut and things start seeping into our bloodstream, that's where we start having neurological conditions. And this brings me to my second point of the kale. A lot of people think, oh, eat all your greens, eat all your vegetables. And we become this fanatic with eat vegetables, be vegan, be all of these things. But we want to take it back to ancestral diets. When we were hunting and gathering, the main source of our food on a regular basis was meat. We didn't have vegetables throughout a lot of the winter. We had very few. And when we did, it was a few that we shared throughout, right? We had a handful of berries here and there. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is plants have chemicals. They're neurotoxins, and they're salicylates, oxalates, histamines, and a bunch of other amines that are their natural protection to not be eaten. Now, a lot of animals have the ability to break those down, but they are actually toxic when they're eaten in too many quantities. And on top of that, we can only process so many. Our liver has to process them, and it can only process so many at a time. And so what ends up happening is our liver, one of the detox pathways only covers sulfur and, let's say, salicylates. It covers the same pathway. And so when we're eating a good portion of meat along with all these vegetables, the liver has to go like, oh, well, I can't process this right now, so let me put this off. And then we start recycling it, and those seep into the bloodstream, and they are neurotoxins. Salicylates from plants are neurotoxins. And salicylates alone is actually linked to autism, suicidal depression, eczema, Alzheimer's, a bunch of other symptoms. And people don't understand this, that just because we have access to all these plants now because of importation does not mean we should be eating them in masses. First off, the majority of them are hybrid. They're not even what we would find in nature. And second, we're getting things that aren't even ripe or grown in the areas that we're living in. So they have even higher amounts of these plant toxins. And so I want people to understand that just because you hear a fad diet on whatever channel or the Western medical system is throwing all these things out there, whatever it is, does not make it healthy. You need to learn about food sources and what you're actually eating and how you're eating it. And so it's not black and white of, oh, if I just switch over to this, because unfortunately, a lot of people, when they go to a vegetarian or a vegan diet, they end up loading up on carbs. And carbs is one of the number one reasons that we are so sick because of insulin resistance. And so I just wanted to touch on that point because kale was one of the things that was just running me down and I had absolutely no idea.
Yeah, that's huge. Thank you so much for that information. And so I want to talk about a lot of that. I love to use kale because people are like, oh, in its natural state, kale is alkaline. It's great for you. And I'm like, well, is it good for you though? Mm-hmm. Is it good for you? And like you were saying, what happens is your body takes this in, and if it sees it as a pathogen, your immune system is actually now fighting kale instead of fighting mm-hmm. whatever disease, right? So one of the things we were talking about testing is, and this goes along with the kale, is the IgG delayed food allergy tests. And I say all the time, if you don't want to get it through me, go to your Western medicine doctor and ask them. They're not going to give it to you. They don't even offer it. Mm-hmm. I got into fights. I said, you won't give it to me? We don't do that. You don't do that? Excuse me. They refused. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of start there with people because it's kind of eye-opening. I'm like, ask for this test. Please, by all means, I hope that they give it to you. Not one. They will give you an IgG E test, which is more the anaphylactic,
right, allergy.
Like your throat closed. And you'll mm-hmm. see that because it happens. You can take Benadryl and it goes away, right? Delayed food allergies, we do not talk about enough. The symptoms are extreme. Mm-hmm. Chronic fatigue, inflammation, ear infection, psoriasis, eczema, the list will go on. Mm-hmm. So I say start there.
Yeah.
Ask your doctor, can I have an IgG test? And they'll say, yeah, sure, we'll give you an IgE. No, an IgG test. So I like to start there. Also, with the microbiome testing, you're talking about, you know, asking your doctor, they will give you microbiome testing, but the range, right? That functional range is different. So kind of in therapeutic and healing, we want you more in the middle of this spectrum. Okay. But what the results they're looking for is right before disease.
Yes.
So they're like, oh, you're in good range. You're healthy. You're good. And you get 2 points and now you have chronic disease. And so what we're saying is, yeah, they'll give you that test and that result's going to be here, but we want you over here so that you're healing. You're allowing your body to heal.
Yes. And there's a point that they don't include a lot of information on the panels.
It's
They're
true,
completely
yeah.
different. It's like so basic. It's like, oh, let's look, you know, like H. pylori and a couple of other, you know, I can't quote this, but I don't think that they actually do the DNA of the microbiome. I think there's only actually, I think two companies that I know of that run the DNA sequencing of the gene of our microbiome itself. And that's where you really want to start getting to, right? You want the new stuff. And the Western medical system does not offer that. I'm almost certain that they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, getting curious, like these things don't have to be scary.
Mm-hmm.
It can sound a lot, but like, what is a microbiome test? What does that even mean? Let me
How
just look that
it?
Up. Let me ask somebody, right? How do you do it? So getting curious and researching
mm-hmm.
lots of different Western, Eastern. And I would say that's basic. Like, okay, what does it mean in Western? What does it mean in Eastern? Mm-hmm. Like, let me see those big differences. Also something that you mentioned, you know, about meat and veggies. And one thing I kind of want to just throw out there is, again, we're all so different. And so really getting in tune with what feels right for your body.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, this is why we're having this conversation, is this society, nobody really knows what it feels like to feel good.
It's true. I say that all the time. Until you actually feel good, you don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is so huge. And so the only way to do that is, unfortunately, remove and try different things, understand your body, getting these tests, figuring out what is right for you. That's going to be trial and error. Like you said, the beginning of this journey is trial and error. It's okay to fail. I call it failing forward, because in order to figure out what works, you have to figure out what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, like you said, some people were like, okay, I'll go vegan or I'll go vegetarian, but they supplement it with things that are still not nutrient dense mm-hmm. for their body, right? And after we turn 25, our hydrochloric acid starts to deplete. We don't make as much. And so after that, also looking at the meat, how much we're consuming, and just being in tune with your body. One thing I just want to touch on before we move on is that Tums and acids. If you, and because we're talking about the gut and it's so connected, and I could talk to you about this for hours, right? I'm all juiced up and excited, but if you are taking antacids, we're going to break something to you. It's not because you have too much acid. It is because your body is not making enough acid. So when you mm-hmm. top that with antacids, you are actually causing the things in there can start to mold because it's killing the bacteria. So now on top of not having enough acid to break down your food, you're killing the rest of the acid. Your body is not able to break down any of the foods. And then you have like things like candida that start to mold and yeast bacteria starting to accumulate. And then you have all these different issues, that depression,
mm-hmm.
all of these things, right? And so, like you said, so much of it is in the gut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. there's one person where I feel like if you want to start seeing things from a different perspective, I never mentioned him before, but I feel like for this one, I will. Dr. Berg on YouTube. He is a doctor who walks you through every condition you can imagine. And he, if you read his comments, it's just so beautiful. He has been attacked hardcore by the FDA and all these other things because he is helping people get better on YouTube. You could just diabetes or, you know, chronic fatigue, all these things. You could type in Dr. Berg with whatever condition, and he will have a video that tells you this is why it's happening and this is what you can take and this is what you can do. And I mean, the comments, it's just like people like, I have been dealing with this for 10 years. My doctor never told me anything about this. I started what you suggested and it's been gone ever since. Right? Like, it's just like millions of those. And so I think a good spot for people would be to go to YouTube and check him out and just start getting a different view on what's possible, because he is all nutrition based. It is all about, you know, why your body's doing it in the first place. And yeah, he's had to start kind of silencing himself. And that's made me really sad, because they told him like, we'll take you off the channel if you don't, you know, tone it down, because you're...
That's how you know he's speaking truth.
Exactly. And so he's just a really beautiful tool for people who are looking to like start learning about different simple things from a different perspective.
I love that. Thank you. That link will be in the show notes. Along that, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I think this ties back into the first topic and the question that we were talking about, and really letting people know that we see them where they are and that this stuff doesn't have to be scary. It's just tools to help you make sense of what's going on, just like counseling, just like any other modality, just how you got started. This is another tool to help you make sense of what is happening to you. And I think that it's so important and so sacred. And it's such a piece that people just overlook, because we hear nutrition all the time. And that can just mean so many different things and can be so scary. And I think, let me know how you feel, but I think what we really want to say to you is that it doesn't have to be scary, and it can be very simple and a tool to really help you make sense of where you are, so that you can have a better sense of being in tune with yourself, being connected to yourself. And people like Lynn Rivers here, she can help you make sense of it, and it doesn't have to be overwhelming. There are people to help guide you and walk you through that have been there.
Yes.
Lynn, what would you say to the listeners? Just one thing that you could leave with them.
Invest in yourself. Financially, knowledge, you know, absorb knowledge, research things. I mean, so many people are honestly just wasting life, you know, by going out and doing mindless things and, you know, drinking or doing all these things and staying at home and watching TV that's literally breaking their brain. And it's just like, start educating yourself, research, use money to do things that are good for yourself, to educate yourself and to heal and to get better. The better you are, the more you're going to do for everyone else around you. And I say that from an energetic standpoint, that when we are doing what we love, we emanate a light that's so bright and so vast that we start helping others because they see our light and they want to be more like we are. They want to feel good. They want to do good. And so when you can invest in yourself to become a better version of yourself, you are healing humanity. That is where we start healing it. It's your purpose is not to be a doctor or veterinarian or counselor. It's to be the best version of yourself that you can be, because you're going to emanate that energy everywhere that you go. So that's my two cents.
No, I love that. And you do a beautiful job of that. Lynn, can you just tell everybody where to find you?
Of course, for those who are listening and can't see, it's www.linrivers.com, and that's linrivers.com. And you can find my course that I have up right now, which is only $50 during pre-launch. And I'm keeping it at $50 for pre-launch because I want people to have a no excuse price to get this kind of information. And there's also a bunch of other things that you can find on my website as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome.